TrishRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rock.
Ho, ho, ho. Do you know who this is? It's Santa Claus.
Bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
This year, you're getting a lump of coal.
And TNA.
No, you can't have a BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Have you been a good little girl?
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Have you been a good little boy?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Look, it's simple. Just stay out of my way.
What are you talking about?
May I remind you that long before you started teaming with me, I beat the Big Show for the world title in 45 seconds.
And you think that's going to happen again?
Yes!
No! May I remind you that years ago, Big Show and I were tag team champions. And even back then, he was a whiny, oversized baby.
You know, come to think of it,
you and Big Show have so much in common. Why don't you team with him, and you two can call yourselves Team No Show?
Is this because I didn't invite you to my house for Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
You wouldn't have liked it. Vegan turkey.
Ugh. Vegan turkey? What's the point?
How about this? If we win our match tonight, you can come to my place for Christmas.
Can I beat up Santa Claus?
Deal.
It was the night of Christmas, and all through the house, the DHO army is here and ready to shout! The titles are held by DHO aware. We hope you don't notice Sean's losing his hair. There are a lot of partners. He could have chose, but he accepted me in spite of my nose. Is on Raw, but there's no need to frown, because with these straps, we can appear on SmackDown. Holy crap, this is a really long pole. But a commercial is coming, we gotta get going. So you'll hear us proclaim before the TV goes black. As the hearts are leaving, we're gonna put up their cracks. If it was only a word, that could rhyme with bucket. Merry Christmas to all!
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the special holiday Christmas edition of The Rack. Because, yes, we are taking next week off because I said so. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me this evening, as always, is my festive producer, Sir Rockin.
It's Christmas, y'all. See, that's just that y'all was for Kane Kins, because he says, you know, we're all this connected thing, and, you know, I can now have to say y'all to, you know, just show it to him. I can say it, y'all.
I was going to say, aren't we joined to the brain?
We are. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I forgot.
Yes, and of course.
And you remembered. So, there you go.
Yes. See, I do have a memory. And, of course, we are brought to you by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com. If you're needing that last-minute holiday gift, go click the little banner on the top of the website and go buy yourself some awesome headphones, or go buy a friend some awesome headphones or something. Because, yeah, Christmas is Tuesday, guys. So if you haven't gone and gotten your last-minute gifts at the dollar store, go do it now. Well, not now, after the show.
Right, because I don't think the dollar store is open now. Maybe?
Actually, no, it is. They're open till 10.
Well, it's 11 here, so.
Well, it's 10 here, so screw you. Or it's 9 here, actually, so screw you. You still have one more hour if you're in the Mountain Time Zone to go to the dollar store.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. So we have a lot on our plate tonight. We've got a lot of surprises, a whole bunch of stuff we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Tribute to the Troops. We're going to talk about SmackDown. We're going to talk about Impact. We've got news. We've got Question of the Night. And we've got Rock's discussion topic about Hulk Hogan. But we also have a special, that's right, because it is the end of the world, special greeting from Mace, because I believe Australia is in flames right now. That he sent to us before that happened, right?
Yes. So let's take a listen right now to the last ever time we'll hear from that guy named Mace.
Yeah.
Well, hello, people. What do we have here? I believe this would be some sort of recorded segment. By God, that means somebody actually put in some effort into this show. For those of you who do not remember my name, how dare you forget me after only 2 weeks, you motherfuckers. Basically, it is I, your favorite Australian...
Nick?
Mace. Gracing my presence upon the rack, as I'm sure Lindsay would very much like me to do on a nightly basis. However, this is not possible
right.
Due to the geographical implications that we have currently. For those of you who know the situation, I am currently working, so by the time that this is getting played, I'm going to be sitting in a stuffy office, probably talking to complete and utter retards about why they haven't paid their bills. To be honest, the job isn't that bad. You do get the odd retard that you really want to reach through the phone and strangle, but you can't due to the laws that are about in this country. Suppose I should try and talk some wrestling, eh? Basically, I haven't had the most amount of time to sort of sit down and fully comprehend everything that's gone on in wrestling since I have been gone from the airwaves. I have caught TLC, it did take me a couple of nights to get there, and frankly, from what I've seen of the show, it was basically your standard throwaway year-ender. Nothing gigantic of note except for the, oh my god, heel and face turns out of practically fucking nowhere. The six-man tag, as has been previously highlighted upon many shows, probably including this one, depending on whenever Rock decides to air the segment and give everybody else a fucking break, that was the highlight of the show. Main event, good to see Ziggler actually going over, despite Tim and his, basically his goal to turn around and say that I am going to pick Cena because it was just Super Cena. I'm sorry, Tim, I actually have more brains than that, which means I have more brains than you. But then again, everybody already knew this.
Ooh.
Just say it, Tim.
The AJ Hill turn, interesting to see how it goes, because basically, as it has been said, I believe it was on the Raw post-show that she is basically the female equivalent of Stone Cold. She is a heel. She does heelish things, but she gets cheered for it, because that's the type of shit we want to see happen. And I don't know whether they've brought in a fresh batch of monkeys to write WWE television or whatever they've done, but it is working. So, yeah. Other than that, I haven't been watching SmackDown as per usual, because let's face it, I have better things to do on a Friday night than sit at home watching wrestling. I have better things to do over the weekend than sit at home watching wrestling, yet I still manage to catch Impact. Speaking of Impact, it's still going on quite well. Good to see that the Brooke Hogan, Bubba Ray Hulk Hogan thing is absolutely being written to perfection right now. The promo between Bully Ray and Hogan was probably the most intense segment I have heard in a long time, and that includes a lot of CM Punk stuff. So, yeah, it's good to see some brains behind the operation there. So, yeah, pretty much whatever wrestling I have seen has actually been enjoyable. That's only because, due to the limited time frame in which I can watch all my programs, it's basically put me into a spot where it's like, I don't like something, I've got to fast forward it because I don't have time. Yeah,
the Alan Wojcik
effect. Actually, going to catch up on all the TV that I'd usually watch during the day or after the shows. Yeah, so pretty much that's just an update from myself. Figured I'd pop into the rack first, you know. Got to play favorites on this network, you know. We all got to make sure Lindsay is the favorite. Only kidding, guys.
Fuck you, Mace. Fuck
chances
you so
are
much.
I'll probably do something else very soon that'll pop up on other shows. But yeah, I figure if I'm going to update anywhere, it should be on the rack, because then at least gives Lindsay and Rock enough time to sort of sit back for 5 or so minutes and not actually have to do anything, because we know how much Rock loves his effort.
Hey.
Surprisingly enough, yes, I do miss you all. I will say it, because I know that nobody else will admit it except Lindsay. You know, because, well, of course she misses me. I'm awesome. But, yeah. That's pretty much it for the updates at the moment. I will try and get back with something more interesting after the Christmas and New Year's break. But, yeah. Have fun. Enjoy what you can. Find the little pleasures in life. And pray you never have to get into customer service.
So there you have Mace, you know, pre-recording that message for us. He's sort of become an Alan Wojcik type, fast-forwarding things, you know, and just, you know, sort of giving an opinion on wrestling.
So does that mean we'll only hear about Australian guys now, or?
I think we're going to hear, whenever Mace sends in something, we're going to hear a lot about Australian independent wrestling. I guess. I don't know. Possibly.
So that means I'd be name-dropping motherfuckers left and right?
Yes.
Wait.
What? What was that?
What?
You heard me. I am not Alan fucking Wojcik.
Rock, are you continuing the pre-recorded message, or do we have the awesome Aussie on the phone?
I think we have the real Aussie on the phone now.
That's true. I'm here.
Face!
Greetings!
See, we can work Christmas magic after all.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Here's the thing, unlike The Rock, not only can I appear live via satellite, but I actually appear live!
So does that mean you're going to steal the belt from whomever and then just never come back?
Sure, why not?
Okay, who's the champion on the network? Okay, Spug is CM Punk, so you have to steal the belt from CM Punk, and then you have to disappear.
That's fine. I can do that, but you got to remember, because, as you put it, I am Kane, I would have to set Spug on fire first.
Your favorite thing to do.
Okay. Well, Australians are well known for barbecuing everything, so fine, let's go with that.
Oh, come on. I have seen you play enough Left 4 Dead to know your favorite thing in the world to do is set people on fire. People, things, zombies, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I will mention this at this juncture. There is no end of the world. There are no zombies trying to bash down my house right now.
Are you sure?
I'm severely disappointed in the Mayans.
Well, it hasn't hit midnight there.
No, we are actually told that supposedly the exact end of the world is at 10... It was 11 minutes past 10 p.m. tonight. And considering it's 18 past 3 in the afternoon, yeah, the end of the world isn't exactly here yet.
So there still is time.
There's still time. There is still time. We may end and nobody would really notice.
And Alan is not Paul Heyman.
No.
Hell no.
No. Tim is Vicky, though.
Yes. Rock is Dolph, and I am AJ.
Don't ask us how we came to these conclusions. It just happened.
It was a magical moment that can never be recaptured.
Pretty much.
But speaking of magical moments that we can capture, let's tell the people about our question of the night.
All right, tell the people about the question of the night.
Ladies and gentlemen, our question tonight is, of course, Christmas-themed, because, well, this is the Christmas show. And we want to know, what would Kane and Daniel Bryan get each other for Christmas?
Got a few responses. Gonna make for some interesting conversation. We'll take yours in the chat room as well. It's gonna be a fun night. What
yes.
would they get each other? And this is all based around, because Lindsay's doing some artwork and, that everyone will see tomorrow, based around this
yes.
topic.
If you want to see my response to the question of the night, stay tuned to my Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. And of course, well, yeah, just stay tuned to my Twitter because I don't give up my Facebook. But anyway.
Or check, it'll be on the Wild Talk Facebook and Twitter too.
Yes. So stay tuned. They will come out probably sometime tomorrow or during the SmackDown replay. I'm not entirely sure when.
At some point this weekend.
Yes. Well, it will come out tomorrow for sure. I'm just not sure what time it will come out.
Okay.
Well, before we jump in the news and everything, quick question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Vince McMahon actually expects the end of the world to happen because he moved SmackDown the Tuesday night?
No.
No, I think he pulled it from the booking sheet, honestly.
Okay.
No. He's just, you know, if he thought the end of the world was happening, he wouldn't have put tapes so much TV.
True, and if the end of the world was happening, we'd probably actually see Dolph Ziggler cash in the Money in the Bank.
And we would probably have, if the end of the world was actually happening, Vince McMahon would be live on pay-per-view broadcasting it for all of us.
Yeah. He would.
And he'd be going, "It was me all along.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along."
So yeah, that like how she played up where I was going.
Same brain, telling you, same brain.
There you go.
You guys have been spending way too much time together since I left.
Yeah, we have. We really have. But we also have news.
And to go back to that point, because we're the only ones who do multiple shows on this network, so, you know, just saying. Moving on to news.
So what are people talking about? Well, I think the biggest story coming out right now, aside from Antonio Cesaro being hurt, Sin Cara having his knees worked on, is the fact that THQ has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yeah, they have.
And more so than that, supposedly they owe WWE, I should say, is owed around $45 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's the company right there, pretty much.
Oh, Kankins. Oh. Anyway, yeah, that's kind of a big deal that they're going belly up at this point. They have someone who gave them money to, you know, tread water right now, and whatever they have in production is going to continue for the moment. Where this stands for WWE 14, well, that's all up in the air, kind of.
At this point, if they've just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, there's a good chance that WWE 14 will not be going ahead. Basically, anything that they've got in production at the moment, like Metro 2033, South Park, The Stick of Truth, and other related works that they have planned for the 2013 release schedule season, they are going to be the main focus, and they're going to practically be the last games that are produced by THQ unless a buyer is found.
And this kind of leads to my question, and we're going to have a little mini discussion. Hopefully we won't go too long with it. But Rock and I both proposed this last night, where what, in your opinion, Mace, because you are a gamer, in your opinion, do you think WWE could buy out THQ and use them to produce their own video games really in-house and make it work?
Well, at this point in time, given probably that the value of THQ is precisely sweet fuck and all, there is a good chance that, yes, they could buy out the company to build games internally. However, THQ is a company that's not only just been about the WWE video games. They have other franchises, like the Saints Row franchise, True Crime, like Darksiders, Metro. They've got a whole heap of other franchises that would have to be bought up in that acquisition, which basically would mean that WWE would be having to pay excess for each individual license. So, if WWE wants to get into the video game making business, THQ is probably a good company to buy up. But they can't really just buy the development team of WWE 13 and say, okay, now you're going to work for us and work for us exclusively.
Right.
Because THQ isn't just a one-game company.
Oh, I agree.
They are also the publishing arm of a lot of different companies as well. I believe they do have rights to a lot of Capcom games are actually distributed through THQ as well. So there's a lot of extra behind-the-scenes bits and pieces that would go into an acquisition of a game company like THQ.
And what do you think of the alternative of if THQ does go under, of either one of the other companies, like, say, Rockstar picking up
the WWE license?
Yeah, the WWE license, sorry.
Well, see, I haven't really heard of any companies that have been interested in the WWE license. If any company is going to try and acquire such a license, it would be EA. But unfortunately, I believe EA is locked under an exclusive agreement with the UFC, which they purchased from THQ last year.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even be able to be in the running to purchase the WWE license, which means you probably have to send it to another company, and I wouldn't even know who's even viable to start making those games, because the only other publisher of past wrestling video games besides EA is Activision,
mm-hmm.
and which is otherwise known as Activision Blizzard. And Vivendi, which is the proprietor of Activision, are actually looking to offload the Activision brand. So, yeah, the entire video game market in general is up shit creek without a paddle at the moment, due to the all the economic downturns and all that bullshit.
Right.
So, believe me, Rockstar, I don't really think they'd be in the market for WWE specifically. To be honest, I'd see Rockstar probably picking up
Saints Row.
Probably, yeah, Saints Row, the True Crime series, probably Darksiders as well. Maybe Ubisoft might be interested. They're probably one of the stronger gaming companies at the moment. So, yeah, it's weird to say, because I can't exactly name a developer or even a publisher that would be interested in trying to acquire most of these licenses at the moment. Now, so it's pretty much just going to be a sit back and watch situation.
Now, going back to the whole premise of WWE possibly buying out THQ, they can get it for a cheap price like they did WCW, and then they could actually unload a lot of it and make a real profit.
Yeah, they could sell off all the other licenses to other companies and just keep the WWE 13 stuff.
Right. They not just keep the WWE license with them, but they can keep some, but a lot of the Saints Row, etc., they could make a good profit off it, because those licenses are worth money.
That could be possible. Like I said, if the WWE wishes to expand themselves into the video game market as a video game publisher and developer, mm-hmm. they couldn't really do worse than picking up THQ.
Right. We're just trying to figure out a way to save Brian Williams.
I could pretty much guarantee you a lot of the guys that have worked long term at THQ, like Brian, will have no issue picking up a job elsewhere.
I know, but he's so awesome.
I know, but it's just the thing is, like, guys like him are always in high demand with companies.
Right.
So he will be taken care of, as will a lot of the guys. A lot of the guys that work there currently.
Right. Well, best of luck to THQ. Best of luck to Brian. We're keeping our fingers crossed for you.
Well, given the fact that THQ recently did a what's known as the Humble Bundle, for those of you who have never heard of the Humble Bundle before, how dare you? the Humble Bundle is basically a collection of games which is placed up on humblebundle.com, and basically you get to pick what price you're paying for it. You know, you can pay as low as a dollar, you can pay 10 grand, you can pay whatever you choose for what they're offering. And THQ made over $5 million with the games that they put out there. So there are people are willing to support the games company.
Mm-hmm.
Because $5 million is probably one of the highest amounts that's ever been done through Humble Bundle.
Right.
Just putting that out there.
Here's to hoping.
Yeah, well, I think that plus whoever gave them the money is to keep them afloat to finish off these games. Hopefully, gamers realize how desperate a situation this is and buys the shit out of the next lot of games that they've got coming out. Which, quite a few of them I've seen with my own eyes, and they are going to be worth the money.
Right.
Stop being stingy, you fucks.
It's just they have to put out. They have to sell enough to make back this money, and hopefully during this whole restructuring, because that's what this Chapter 11 is—the restructuring the company. Maybe they find another backer to, you know, put up more money and keep the company going. We shall see.
Just cross your fingers and say your prayers for THQ, because we want them to survive. Because we want WWE 14 mainly, and Brian Williams to still have a job.
Exactly.
But moving on, I don't really have a transition for this, but if you haven't seen it, go find it. It's out on Daniel Bryan's Twitter. Tuesday in Pittsburgh, they taped SmackDown, and there was a big story that came out where a very, very, very sick little boy who has terminal cancer, I believe brain and spine.
Think so. I can't remember.
Anyway, he's very, very ill. It's terminal cancer, and it's sad to see. But he had one wish, and that was to meet his hero, Daniel Bryan. And they started a campaign, or his family and his supporters, I should say, started a campaign for him to meet Daniel Bryan. And WWE or Bryan or both got wind of it, and they both decided that, yes, they were going to go through with it. So Tuesday, the meeting happened, and there is video of it. And it will make even the most cold-hearted person smile. Because it is just the cutest little thing you've ever seen. I mean, my God, Brian lets the kid put him in the no-lock, and he taps out to it.
That was the greatest. That was awesome. It was just an awesome video, an awesome move on Daniel Bryan's part, also move on WWE's part. What was the kid's name again? Skull Crusher?
Yeah, Skull Crusher was his WWE 13 name.
Right, his WWE 13 name. And what was his brother's name?
The Grim Reaper.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Was it Jack the Ripper, was it?
Yeah.
I knew it was something along those lines.
Yeah, it was great. It was so great. He had his own little microphone. He was interviewing Daniel Bryan. It was awesome.
And he got to hold the real tag team title, and, you know, fair effort from him. He got it above his head on his own.
He did. It's awesome.
Yeah, I watched this before heading to work one morning, and it was like I'm walking up the street afterwards, still trying to, you know, wipe the tears out of my eyes, because that was so awesome.
And go ahead.
And what made it even better is Kane was there.
Yeah, the little kid said his brother had a question for Kane, and then, you know, you can ask Kane yourself.
He's right there.
Yeah, it was amazing. You can check it out. I put up on the Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, if you haven't seen it. I know a lot of people have, but go check it out. It's awesome.
Yes, it's adorable. Go ahead.
It's amazing to see these type of videos getting out there, because usually they end up being tiny, weeny little snippets that are put into a highlight reel or something that you see on Raw, but to actually see the full, like, the full visit.
Or most of it. It was most of it, yeah.
Well, at least most of it is absolutely amazing and extremely heartfelt. Mind you, I still like the other Daniel Bryan video this week.
Oh, we got two Daniel Bryan videos to come tonight, so.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. In other news, WWE is hosting, this is for the Royal Rumble, which I thought was kind of awesome. They're holding a fan fest at this year's Royal Rumble, and tickets are going on sale, I believe, today, maybe, possibly. This is going to be held the day before the Royal Rumble from 12 to 4 local time. WWE is holding three superstar panels at this fan fest, where you must buy separate tickets. It's like $250 for all three panels. They're holding a panel about the Montreal Screwjob, DX, and WCW and the Monday Night Wars.
Ooh. Panel, please.
These kind of sound interesting.
Yeah, the Monday Night Wars. Well, DX, you might get Hunter and Shawn.
Right.
So
it's like, I kind of want to. Yeah.
I kind of want to go to this.
these kind of sounded awesome. It's like $90 per, or you can buy the all access pass for $250. It's a lot of money, but damn, that's. I kind of like it.
If they have a Q&A portion, I'm more than happy to pay the money.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
But did they actually announce who is going to be a part of these panels, or they just announced the panels?
They've just announced the panels.
Yeah, it'll probably come out in the next couple weeks, because the Rumble's right around the corner, who's going to be on the panels, but I imagine for at least... DX, you'll get Hunter, probably Sean, that or Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
I'd probably say it'd be Hunter and Sean at minimum, and maybe Road Dogg because, well, he's an agent.
And Billy works on it now, so Billy will probably be there.
Yeah, Billy's back.
I'd definitely say Sean would be there if they're going to do the Montreal Screwjob.
Mm-hmm.
Because, which means... Probably Brett right. and Sean, maybe with JR moderating.
Quite possibly.
Or if you want to do it even better, you have Vince in the middle.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
But yeah, I saw this thing put out yesterday. I was like, oh, it's just a fan fest. And then I look into it. It's like, it's more than a fan fest. It's like an actual panel.
Yeah. Now, what would be cool is if they carried it over to Mania. And they did it at Mania.
This might be a test run. This could be possibly a test run for, you know, doing something like this at Mania.
Imagine a Mania one. A Dark Side panel with Paul Bearer, Undertaker, and Kane.
I would pay money for that. Just shut up and take my money right now.
So yeah, the fan fest coming. So if you're in there, you might want to go check it out. Believe the where's the Rumble at? In Phoenix.
Yes, the Rumble is in Phoenix this year.
So yeah, Kinkins, I believe, is going to try to head up and see what he can do. See what what it's all about.
Kane Kittens, get pictures. Get lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures.
Video, if you can sneak it past security.
Yeah, video if you can sneak it past security, but otherwise get pictures. Please get pictures.
In other news, this was also an interesting story I saw. The Nielsen Television Radio Company has announced a deal with Twitter on Monday to create the Nielsen Twitter TV rating. This is concerning with about WWE. The Nielsen Twitter TV rating is a significant step forward for the industry, particularly as programmers develop increasingly captivating live TV and new second screen experience, and advertisers create integrated ad campaigns that combine paid and earned media. basically, WWE will now have something else to promote. Because all in their holding conferences and stuff with when they do their quarterlies and stuff, they talk about how they're big on social media, and now there's going to be proof of it if they're actually telling the truth or not with this Twitter TV rating.
True. Very true. But, I mean, it's not like they promote anything. Oh, by the way, did you hear they have an app?
Wait, they have an app?
They totally have an app.
Dude, I've never heard of this WWE app. Can you tell me something about it?
It's something that you can download on your smartphone or your tablet device, and you can get all the information about WWE, including exclusive content. And when the Slammies come around, you can vote. Not that your vote matters, but you can still vote.
But I don't have a smartphone or a tablet. Damn it.
Yet. Yes, Rock is trying to join the social age and get a smartphone or a tablet. Preferably a tablet.
I'm working on a tablet. Maybe sometime in the next year. Anyway. Yeah, technology. Awesome. This, I don't know. I have a feeling this could mean something down the line, this whole Twitter TV rating. But it's an interesting note, nonetheless.
I think it would give a more accurate depiction of who's actually watching. Because the thing with the Nielsen numbers is we look at the Raw ratings every week, and we see them go up and we see them go down, but that doesn't account for people watching on streams or watching later.
Mm-hmm.
Or watching it out on YouTube or whatever. So it's... This allows them, I think, to get a more accurate number as far as who's watching
their
shows. Because they can track the hashtags.
Yes, they can see what's trending and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a tool, and it's going to be, people talk about how WWE ratings are down. This could, this will be something to talk about, and people will obsess over it constantly.
Oh, and by the way, for all the female listeners out there, I don't know if there are any, WWE Shop has released an I'm a Paul Heyman girl shirt. Go buy it.
About damn time.
Damn right.
Well, they've been clamoring for it on, Twitter and everything else.
Oh, I know. I have, too.
By the way, my I'm a Paul Heyman guy t-shirt arrived yesterday.
When? You need to get a picture in it and send it to him.
I'm going to do one tonight, so I can say the world has ended. The world may end, but at least I'm going out as a Paul Heyman guy.
Yes.
Nicely done.
And I really again.
Photo taken.
Gotta get off your ass and do it.
No, I gotta find somebody else in the house that has a steady enough hand to take the photo for me.
Oh.
I'm not taking a MySpace picture with
You're not doing
the
duck face
in the mirror.
You're not doing
the mirror.
Come on,
do it in the
mirror. Fuck off.
Do it. Come on, do it.
I'm no 14-year-old girl. Take it at a mirror at a fucking angle and do fucking duck face. Fuck off.
Oh, come on.
Do you have an iPhone 4 or an iPhone 5? Doesn't that have the front camera?
It does, but it sucks.
Oh, come on, Al.
You use the front camera to take the MySpace photo. That's how you do it.
Oh, you know you want to, Mace. Come on.
No.
Aww.
Do it.
Fuck off.
Well, thank you for giving me a transition. Speaking of fuck off. Ric Flair in the WWE apparently found a way to tell TNA to F off regarding the lawsuit. If you didn't hear, Ric Flair is back in the WWE, but not on a permanent basis.
No. This was a one-time deal to work around the whole lawsuit. TNA has not done anything with the lawsuit in months. This came all together about a month ago that WWE decided, okay, we can sort of stop worrying about the lawsuit. This was Vince McMahon's doing. He wanted to, bring Flair back for this occasion, and he did, and their feeling is we brought him down. Brought him back for nostalgia. One night only. He's not under contract. we did not, you know, breaking any of these, you know, things you're saying we're doing. He's here one night. That's all. But him being back was kind of awesome on Monday.
Yeah, that was an awesome moment when he walked out. Because everybody had been anticipating, oh, when is Flair going to show up? When is Flair going to show up? And we'd all been expecting it and waiting for it. And I will give WWE credit. All the surprises Monday, from what I saw, were kept quiet.
Yeah, but what a botch on Flair's. You know, they have Michael Cole going, we have a special guest coming up who will be presenting Superstar of the Year. And as they go to the promo package, you hear, woo!
It wasn't a botch.
And the, wasn't it?
No.
It was intentional.
It was intentional. It was the intentional.
No, no. They shouldn't have let that happen.
That was the intentional tease to get people to go, oh my god, it's Ric Flair. That's what that was the deal with it. It wasn't a botch. It was, here's the tease. Here's Ric Flair's coming back. Tune in top of the hour.
Mm.
They were trying to pop the rating.
I don't know. I just feel that it would have worked. Like the actual reaction, as amazing as it was, would have been blowing the roof off the building if they had kept it quiet.
At least I agree.
But what you could have had, while Cole saying we've got a special guest coming up, you have like JBL sitting there doing the Four Horsemen sign or something. Mm-hmm. You know, a real subtle nod to what's coming, instead of basically going, we're going to show the promo package, then we're going to break. You know who's coming.
Well, to be fair, because we were all in the production chat during Raw, we're all going, no, it's not Flair. No, he can't be there. He can't show up. They've got the lawsuit.
Yeah, me and Spug were going like, wait, there's a lawsuit going on. They can't show. They only did that because they can't show his face. They're only going to let us hear him. And then we go, wait, maybe it's still after the break.
You know, he's going to be in a video package, or he's going to be something. You know, it's...
It was a tease. No, it was not a bomb. Yeah,
it was a tease, and it paid off really well. I will admit it. It was good to see Flair back. To be honest, I was probably still more what the fucking over, you know, like...
Boogeyman?
Tommy Dream... Yeah, Boogeyman, Tommy Dreamer, Brooklyn Brawler. Over two nights we had some real what the fuck returns.
Yeah we did.
They did a really good job this week of surprising everybody and producing really good content.
Yes. But I think that's all the news we got for the week.
Oh yeah, Shelton Benjamin might be coming back to WWE, speaking of returns.
Yeah, Shelton Benjamin asked for his release from from Ring of Honor because WWE's been in contact and he can't, you know, negotiate with them while being under contract. Doesn't mean he's leaving ROH right now. He's possibly coming back to the company.
Just in time to do Wicked Crazy Spots for Money in the Bank.
He's got a few months for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Spot Monkey's back. Woohoo!
Woohoo! But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Yes, as we do, we're going to send it to WWE's seasonal greeting.
Sweet! So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Impact. But for now, listen to the WWE seasonal greeting, and we will be right back here on the rack on WildTalkRadio.com.
In this whole world.
I know that is not true.
Excuse me, don't you start a
Can you dig it? You sing too.
Holidays are truly a time to be thankful for what we have. From our WWE family to yours, happy holidays.
Happy
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Whoa, ho, ho, everybody. Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com, reminding you that every Friday night, we get deep. That's right. Have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m., with my wake-up call, we talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppins, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's me, it's DDP.
Yo, monkey, it's me, DDP. The king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, monkey, for you, you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. That's a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Christmas until you hear that song. I'm sorry. And welcome back to the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And yes, Mace, we do have one more break tonight.
That's okay. I'm going to start sending rock things.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to have Mace setting in music now. Anyway, welcome back, everybody.
So, if you're just joining us, you missed the awesome recording. We have our Christmas surprise, which, of course, is the awesome Aussie Mace. And all the news and notes from the past week or so. And now, well, we're going to get into tonight's Impact.
This was an interesting show, I guess. This is the best way to put it. as we've been saying for a while, Impact's been the best wrestling show, but this week it kind of wasn't. WWE takes the edge this week, but this was a solid show right now.
It was a solid show, and basically this was the throwaway because it's the last, well, it's the last show before Christmas, but they're all pre-taped for the next couple weeks because between Christmas and New Year's they're off. So, right. And then they're going to start fresh in January. I guess they're starting live again in January?
On the 3rd.
But they did some interesting things on this show tonight, which we will get into. One of them being that they kind of did some setups for 2013.
Yeah, they have. We'll get into that as we go along.
They laid the groundwork tonight for some new stuff, so hopefully we will get that in the new year, provided the world does not blow up tomorrow. So,
it hasn't blown up. I'm still here.
Yes, but we haven't.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me first.
Well, I know what's going to happen to you first, but I'm just saying. That's
mind you, we did have Ricardo Rodriguez asking at 7 o'clock this morning, at least my time that is, has the world ended yet, Australia?
Alan Wojcik asked the same question about 20 minutes ago. He asked the question.
No, Alan, Australia has not been wiped off the face of the earth yet.
Any zombies or asteroids in China/Australia yet? That's the question he asked about...
No, I'm pretty sure if there were, it would be on every TV station.
And it would be a trending topic on
pretty
Twitter.
Pretty much. And I'm quite sure it wouldn't be a nice sunny day outside if that was the case.
No. I'm pretty sure the sky would be, like, green or something.
Pretty much.
But anyway, so we're going to start Impact off with, well, it's Championship Thursday.
It is, which means we're going to get some title matches tonight.
We are, but in a sign that the world may be ending is the fact that tonight was focused all around the knockouts.
Yeah, it was, and I have comments about how they did those segments as we go along.
As we go along, yeah. But the show opens with Kurt Angle coming to the ring, and he's going to face D-Von for the television title. We also find out that Jeff Hardy will defend against Austin Aries, and Tara will have to defend against an unknown opponent, which will be decided later. But Angle is up first, and he's a little disappointed because, well, D-Von brought his friends. Apparently, he didn't get the memo about the Christmas party, so Kurt's there solo. So sad, so embarrassing. But he has backup.
Yes, he has backup in the form of Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff, and Samoa Joe.
Does it make you a little sad that Joe is being subjected to being a lackey?
A little bit. But at least he's being used on television. And he's teaming with Kurt, so I guess that's a positive.
It's better than what he's had most of the year.
This is true. Oh, sweet. Somebody built their house with airplane wings. That's awesome. I want it.
Oh, you're watching that show again, one of those shows again?
Yeah, The Home Strange Home. She built her house out of a 747. It's awesome.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's a cool-looking house. Anyway, back to Impact.
I'd hate to see what it'd be like if she ever decided to move.
That's like a dream of mine. I want to buy, like, an old 747 and live in it. I don't know why, but I do.
It's a weird dream. Strange dream. But, okay.
What? It's big enough.
I'm not saying it's not big enough, it's just weird.
Well, I'm weird.
Yes.
I'm AJ, remember?
I know. You're the crazy chick. Who's everyone's favorite.
Anyway, moving on. We're not going there.
No, AJ's everyone's favorite.
Well, most people's favorite.
Most people's favorite. Most people who know what they're talking about's favorite.
Really?
What? Alan comes on the air every single week and dogs her. Come on now.
All right. So, anyway, moving on. Angle versus D-Von with the Aces and Eights and the Angle Trio. all on the outside. Solid match.
Match started slow, but it picked up after the break. That brawl they tried to pull off was kind of meh.
Yeah, the brawl was fail.
Yeah, it was a terrible brawl. But the match itself picked up after the break. So it was a solid match. I'll give them that. Solid match.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. He and Devon didn't mesh too well, at least in the beginning, and they got better as the match went on. Obviously the aces and eights cheated, and Devon picks up the win via a masked man with a pipe. And so your winner and still television champion is Devon.
Yes, Devon keeps his title. His precious title.
Yay! And so moving on, we have in the back Brooke Hogan sitting at her father's desk, trying to look all authoritative. And with her is Velvet Sky, Miss Tessmacher, ODB, and Mickey James. They're all under deliberation, and they're all making their points as far as why they should get the title. Velvet says she hasn't gotten a shot, and it's her time. Brooke then talks to ODB and brings up EY. She says family should come first, and Brooke eliminates ODB for having a husband, and this is the exact quote from the recap I'm reading, having a husband or something.
Husband with a bad wheel. My problem with this segment, one, they got rid of ODB really quick. Number two, just the camera angle they were using, they were really close up on Brooke Tessmacher's face, and you could see the pimple right on the side of her cheek. Really distracting.
Ew.
It was really distracting.
And for a segment that was basically to pimp out 5-hour energy, it just wasn't.
Yeah, there was no energy. What the fuck? Like, they said, it's brought to you by 5-hour energy, and they were like, okay. I want the title shot. Maybe, yeah. I'm better than them, yeah. No, there's no energy. Come on. You're doing 5-hour energy. Get some energy. Get some spirit. God damn it.
Seriously. Hey, Mace. Have you ever heard of the Cloud House?
Cloud House? No.
It's in Melbourne? Somewhere?
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Why?
I'm just watching this TV show, and they're talking about a cloud house where the back of the house is literally shaped like a cloud.
Wow,
and it's in Melbourne, somewhere.
Well, if it's in Melbourne, there's a good chance that I could actually find it. Oh, okay, I see what you mean now.
Yeah.
It takes 10 seconds of research.
to the Googles!
It's out in Fitzroy, yeah, other side of the city to where I live, so it's like probably a good 2 hours on public transport.
Ew, suck.
I could probably go and find it if I really got adventurous. I don't want to go to Fitzroy, I don't want to get stabbed.
And do you ever get adventurous?
Fuck no.
I was going to say, they're showing the neighborhood, and the neighborhood looks a little rough, just pointing that out.
Fitzroy is an extremely rough area. I really don't like going out that way if I can help it.
I don't know why this lady built this really cool house in this really bad area, but okay, whatever. After we have ODB get eliminated, which made me sad, Kenny King is in the back being interviewed.
By the way, ODB's getting like the royal screw job, man. She didn't even make the list.
The list?
The two Robbie Gaytards and their list.
Well, she's better than their list.
All she had to do was give Robbie a kiss. That was it. And she'd be on the list. But she ran off, which is understandable because it is Robbie A. I'm surprised that she didn't jump Big Rob. She was flirting through him all through the video.
Well, you know, she's distracted with EY and all. It's just, yeah, it's not a good time. By the way, they need to bring EY back, like, now. Please. Please bring UI back.
By the way, it must have gone midnight because Twitter's getting flooded with, I survived!
Oh, good lord. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's 12:03 on the East Coast. Yeah.
Which midnight is it, by the way? Is it this midnight or is it the next one? I'm not entirely sure. That's what I've been trying to figure out all day. Is like
according to what we've been told, we still have 6 hours. So about 6:10 a.m. East Coast.
Yeah, I won't be awake. Well, actually, I might be awake.
Anyway,
this is going to be really schizophrenic. I'm just warning everybody now.
Anyway, Kenny King was doing a promo backstage. He was talking about what happened last week, and he was trying to get a win, and said it was nothing personal with Rob Van Dam. He put over RVD, and about how those two will be a great tag team later on tonight.
And somewhere you heard Alan Wojcik go, yay.
Yay. Woo. You know it.
This is about Kenny King.
Yes, Kenny King.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the guy has in-ring talent, but charisma, he has none.
And in the Alan Wojcik special of the night, we have a tag team match. Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan take on Kenny King and RVD.
One of these days, I'm going to pin Joey Ryan down, and I'm going to wax his chest. And then his face. God. I'm sorry, I cannot stand him. I just really can't. I've tried. I can't.
So we had a match. No, it was a solid match. It was a match. Yeah, that's basically what it was.
It was decent. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst for what little I paid attention to it, because once Matt Morgan came out in the gold cloak and I saw Joey Ryan, I was like, that's it. Doing something else.
Doing something else. Going to move on. Post-match, Kenny King made fun of RVD losing the match. Basically, that's it. We're going to get some more RVD Kenny King stuff, so should lead to something.
Yay!
At least there's finally a feud for the X Division title.
This is true. At least we're finally hearing from them. Again.
Again.
So yay for that. But up next, we get one of the promos of the night.
Yeah.
From Kazarian. It opens up with highlights of AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, and then we cut to the locker room where we're looking at Kazarian. Kaz says, we're 5 days away from Christmas, and it's his favorite time of the year. He has a surprise for the fans, and that will show how gracious he really is. But before he continues, well, he gets interrupted by a phone call that he just has to take, and it's from his good buddy, Nick. And, of course, he has to be the good man and ask how Donner is with his hoof and mouth disease.
I laughed. That was good.
It was clever. It was really clever.
It was very, a very clever promo by Kazarian tonight. I enjoyed it.
And in the wrong segment of the night, it's Hulk Hogan time, baby. He comes up to the Impact Zone, and he tells them that the Impact Zone cast members make him feel like he's 18 years old again.
Oh, no, brother. Oh, no.
2012 has been a great year for Impact Wrestling. Hogan says Hogan has seen this teeny tiny company start to grow. He says that this is the year that the company will turn into a huge monster. He puts over the talent. Jack, brother. Hogan then says, us fans get to vote for the Impact Wrestler of the Year. They're going to announce the winner on January 3rd. And this is when he gets interrupted by those dastardly, not so much aces and eights. They cut him off. And Hogan is angry at Devon. Devon wonders... Oh, I'm sorry. Hogan is angry Devon isn't out by himself. Devon wonders if Hogan believes all the lies Hogan says. 2012 was the year of aces and eights. Not so much. and that the aces and eights represent the truth, unlike Hogan. The fans start chanting Hogan's name, while Devon tries to say 2013 will be the year of aces and eights. People will be revealed and gold will be accomplished, but Hogan won't be around to watch it unfold. Then the group proceeds to surround the ring, and Hogan will when Bully Ray comes out and makes a save. They leave, despite having a good 3 or 4 man advantage. I'm glad to know somebody else noticed that. And Bully and Hogan do a stare down at each other while some fans chant shake his hand. And then, of course, Hulk leaves without doing so.
They were scared of the chain, Lindsay. They were scared of Bully Ray's chain. That's why they ran away. They didn't want to get hit by the chain.
Well, honestly, if I saw Bully Ray running at me mad, I'd run away too. So.
Yeah. You don't want to get in a mess with the bully. But you mentioned Hogan was talking about how they were going to have on the third, we're going to have the TNA Wrestler of the Year. Do you know who the choices are?
I have no idea who the choices are. Who are the choices?
The choices are, which you can get on ImpactWrestling.com for Wrestler of the Year, James Storm, Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, and Bully Ray.
Hmm. Interesting mix. I'll have to go vote. Can you vote multiple times?
I just voted for Bully Ray, so I don't know if you can vote multiple times.
Well, go vote for Storm and find out.
All right, I'm reloading. apparently, let's see. Yeah, apparently I can.
Sweet!
Boy, yeah,
you can only vote once. Additional votes will not count.
I just saw that, yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Damn.
So quick, everybody flood it and make sure Jeff Hardy does not win.
Go vote for James Storm.
Because this will become as rigged as a WWE poll if Jeff Hardy wins.
Yeah.
Yes. You said Daniels is one of the choices?
No, James Storm, Austin Aries, Bully Ray.
Storm, Hardy's, Aries, Roode, Ray.
Yeah.
Go vote for Storm or Ray. Go, go, go. Go. Make sure Jeff Hardy doesn't win. But speaking of Jeff Hardy, we get another monologue.
This time out of his mouth, not his head.
Thank God. He's talking to himself in the mirror. He's talking about Austin Aries. Hardy is disappointed Aries would pay someone to hurt him, and Hardy promises to beat Aries 3 times.
Yes. After that, we go backstage. Brooke Hogan, she was talking with Mickie James about this guy, and Brooke Tessmacher in the hallway, kind of, not letting them in her office. It boiled down to she was talking with Miss Tessmacher how she's been here, she's gotten her shots, but Velvet and Mickie J just came back and haven't gotten their fair shot against Terror. So Brooke is eliminated. So we're down to Mickie and Velvet for the two who will get a shot at the Knockouts Championship later on in the evening.
I like how my recapper put, don't get married or have success if you're a TNA knockout. Because they will clearly hurt you.
It's true by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's your reasoning for elimination? Really? Okay. But after this, Frankie Kazarian is shown walking down the backstage aisle with gifts in his hand. We then go to the segment of the night.
I would say it's segment of the night.
Because we cut to the ring, and there's a throne in the middle of the ring with a Christmas tree and some presents as well. Cass says he's in the holiday spirit. And, of course, he indicates the Christmas tree, which has 2 stars on top of it. They actually stuck a picture of Cass and Daniels on the top of the tree, which is awesome. And then, of course, he brings out his best buddy, Christopher Daniels, for his Christmas present. Daniels comes out looking very sharply dressed and handsome with Appletini in hand. He gets in the ring, and Kaz tells Daniels that he can sit on the throne for now, wink, wink. Which, by the way, was I the only one that noticed that Daniels looked way too natural on that throne?
He looked like he was about to start giving proclamations.
Like, he looked like he just should be there. I don't know why, but it's just like he sat down on that throne, and it's like, that should be the way it is, actually. That's scary.
But yes.
Gee, maybe somebody in TNA should maybe do something like a Ruler of the Ring tournament or something like that.
Ruler of the Ring tournament.
Ruler of the Ring.
Sounds familiar.
I don't know where you would have gotten that idea. Anyway, he says Daniels has been a dear friend to him and somebody trustworthy and honest, a saint even, and this is the point where you see the halo appear over Christopher Daniels' head. Kat says he's arranged for a very special visitor, and that man is the one, the only, the man with the largest sack they've ever seen, Santa Claus.
And the smirks they were giving.
Oh, I know. The smirks the whole time. They were loving this. Santa and Daniels shake hands as Kazarian introduces him. Daniels and Kaz, well, they have a gift for Santa because he's so good and he always is giving gifts to everybody else. So it's time for him to get pampered. Santa's so excited. He rips into the package and what is it? He gets his own pair of Zubaz pants.
They're all the rage right now.
They are. They are completely, totally the rage.
They're trending. Yeah, that was funny.
That was so awesome. Santa then asks Daniels a question and asks him to sit on his lap. But before Santa can get the question out, Daniels gets his picture taken with Santa. And then Santa asks him if he's been a good boy this year. The fans start chanting no, because, and I love my recapper again, because they're dicks. And Daniel says he's been really good. He's gotten rid of the biggest loser in Impact Wrestling history. He got rid of AJ Styles.
And the grin on his face.
Oh, I know. The grin, just that shit-eating grin was priceless. Santa says, since Daniels has given the Impact fans what they wanted, he can make Daniels' wish come true. Daniels says it's not about the gifts you get, but the gifts you give. He asks Santa to give anything to AJ Styles' kids because AJ is a loser that won't be able to give them anything.
Ooh, what a shot right there. Oh, Christopher Daniels.
This one part of this segment was gold.
Simply gold.
Beautiful. Go watch it on YouTube. Go find it on YouTube. It was just them at their finest.
It really, really was. They were cheesing it up. It was totally cheesy. But it worked.
Daniel's face when he got the photo taken with Santa Claus.
Yes.
Epic is the way to describe it.
It was hilarious.
They were acting like two kids in a candy store. They really were.
Yep. But this was not done, though, Lindsay.
No, it wasn't. This is where things got a little awkward, and, well, Lindsay's Christmas wish changed. Because out comes the man with the long necks and red necks, James Storm, and God, he looked hot. sorry. Something about the long, disheveled hair hanging down that, yeah, you just want to tackle him and do really naughty things to him. Hashtag naughty list. Anyway, James Storm begins to question the authenticity of Santa. And this is where we get the Christmas Story reference, which was amazing. Because he's upset. Because when he was six, he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun, but he didn't get it because, well, he would shoot his eye out. And when he was 16, he wanted a big old truck with big old tires so he could go muntin', but he didn't get it. Storm says, if this is Santa, if this is the real Santa, Storm wants to know what he asked for last Christmas.
And then Santa was making some guesses, including, is it a Travis Tritt CD?
Yes. Santa says it was something country and brings up Travis Tritt. Storm says, close, but no cigar. Storm says that, well, he asked for a case of beer and then gives Santa the last call. Which I like. I like how my recapper, this is going to be, I'm loving this recap. You're probably going to get this a lot. Santa says it was something country and brings up some country singer named Travis. Storm says he asked for a case of beer because those are expensive or something, and then kicks Santa dead.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be considered a heel turn by Storm, beating the shit out of Santa Claus?
That's what I was kind of thinking, because the whole thing was really awkward, especially when Storm kicks Santa, because it's like, well, there are some kids that are going to be leaving the impact zone traumatized.
Pretty much. So you're sort of sitting there going, this might not have been the best idea for a segment, guys.
But at the same time, he came out, played up that it wasn't really Santa. So it keeps him face that way.
Yeah, but having him do it, it was really kind of sort of awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I would have had him yank the beard off, or the beard and the hat off, and then super kicked him. Like, to show that it wasn't the real Santa. Like, Storm go, you're not the real Santa, you're not the real Santa at all, rip off the wig and the beard, and then super kick him. And it has the same impact, but it felt a little bit odd.
It's a little bit more kid-friendly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm all for things being a little bit racier, but you don't attack Santa. You just don't.
Especially not around Christmas.
Yeah.
Only heels pick on Santa.
Which was
really weird, because they just went backwards with the entire thing. It was the bad guys being good to Santa.
It's a Christmas show, just throw logic out the window.
I know, but I have to wonder if his daughter didn't ask him, Daddy, why did you kick Santa in the face? That's all.
Yeah.
So, moving on from this, Austin Aries comes up and he's glaring at the camera really, really closely, which scared the crap out of me. He's questioning why we can't hear his inner thoughts, and he goes, oh yeah, we're not good enough or something to that effect that we can't hear his inner thoughts. So he's going to have to tell us. He says that basically Hardy challenging him will turn out to be the biggest mistake of Hardy's career. We also know, well, who the 1-3-13 promos are for.
Yeah, we do, which I kind of brought up last week on the show who it was going to be. And I was right.
It's for Sting. Yeah,
because it wasn't fucking obvious from the start.
I was hoping it would be somebody new.
But instead it's the return of Sting. Yeah, he's coming back to beat up the Aces Eights and going right after Doc. Or Steve, I should say. After they saw the video, the Aces Eight groups were shown sitting around a table in their clubhouse. The spokesman, asked what happened out there. Steve admitted that they were tricked. The spokesman said they need bodies. Not just anyone, but smart muscle. So the people in there aren't smart. Anyway, Devon said he might have someone in mind. A little arrogant, but maybe pissed off enough to want to do this. And then they went and did a whole vote of allowing Devon to bring some smart muscle into the group. So
now,
that begs the question, who's the smart muscle?
Well, who's the smart muscle and who's going to get revealed? Because wouldn't it be easier just to, kick a whole bunch of people out and then bring them in as smart muscle? Unless he's going to just, that's how they're going to reveal him, is bringing, Mike Knox and a whole bunch of other folks.
I believe that they asked for smart muscle.
He can act smart. Kind of. Not really. I don't know. It was all very kind of bizarre. But after this, we were in the final deliberations with Mickey and Velvet. Brooke Hogan says she's doing Velvet a favor since she's only wrestled one match, and gives the title match to Mickey James. Which doesn't make a lot of sense, but...
None of that made sense. None of it. But it, logic, none here. But we got Tara and Mickey James one more time, and I enjoyed the match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I wish I was as pretty as Mickey James. I just wish I had her body. But yeah, it was a good match. It was way better than the women's matches we get in WWE. Just saying.
That's because Mickey and Tara weren't dressed up in Santa Claus outfits. Or as reindeer. Or, you know, slutty ho-ho-hos or something.
Oh, I know. I know. They were equally
slutified.
Addressed. Yes, equally slutified, thank you. But at least they were going in the ring and they weren't doing stupid dance moves or anything like that.
Good solid match. Tara retained her title. They managed and helped. Mickey's knee was bending backwards on the pin. I mean, she's very flexible. Just saying. Yeah, solid match, I thought. And it's what you expect from these two.
But then we go to the backup segment of the night.
Yeah, this segment was kind of... This was... Joseph Park at OVW. And Joseph, well, he's kind of a little timid in the ring.
He is.
He tried punching and chopping and shoulder blocking and, well, he was kind of soft and really didn't do much damage and kind of Danny Davis tore really into him. And, well, you know, they talk about how he's a 340-pound guy and he can't knock a guy over and Danny Davis is, what, 200 pounds?
Yeah.
And he knocked him right over. Yeah. But then, they do a demonstration of a forearm to the mouth, and Joseph came up bleeding. And then, well, Joseph went on the... His inner abyss came out.
And, his inner monster came out.
Yeah, his inner monster. And he started delivering shots. And then, you know... After a while,
he started fucking people up.
He did. And then Danny Davis was in shock. Then Joseph was looking around and then went, What happened? This was very enjoyable.
This has been the slowest reveal of something we have already known in a long time.
But at the same time, it's being done well.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable reveal. It's one of those things, like, you know where this is going, but the way that they're doing it is it's so right, you don't care. Like, they're playing this perfectly.
Yes, they are. And I want more training segments. Just saying.
You do them once every 2 weeks or so, and... Leave it at that. You don't want to do it, like, every week.
No.
Have multiple segments over one show.
No,
you want to minimize the exposure to this. That's what makes it so enjoyable.
Right. A minute segment every week is pretty much good.
Yeah. And this definitely got the point across that, well, Joseph Park, he's just not quite right in the head. And then after this, we, of course, get your main event of the evening. Your TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Jeff Hardy, with the weird makeup and the music and the like, is taking on the one, the only, the amazing Austin Aries in what is this, Hardy's Aries 4?
3.
3?
3.
It was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. The finish saw Bobby Roode come down after the ref bump and lay out Austin Aries with the spine buster, allowing Jeff Hardy to retain the title. It seemed like it was sort of babyface turn, but more of he's just going after Austin Aries because Austin Aries screwed him.
Yeah.
And it looked like we're headed towards a three-way between these three men.
Which could get interesting. And at least they found something to do with Bobby Roode.
Yes, they have.
So that was your Impact. Well, we actually have one more segment, which I'm trying to block out. But
We did have a final little bit, so I'll give you a break for a second. They were talking to Hogan in the back, in the parking lot, about how his thoughts on the title picture. Hogan said it's chaotic and he's looking forward to get it all straightened out in 2013. He was asked about Aces and H, which Hogan blew off before stopping his tractors. You know, they found, you know, Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan at a vehicle. And we got a lip lock. And then Hogan angrily jumped into his car, which is weird seeing Hogan jump into a car like that. But Hogan jumped in his car and drove away. But yeah, it closed with Brooke and Bully Ray making out.
And he was going for it.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, so that is your potential final impact of the world, or at least the impact before Christmas.
So impact goes out with the two of them kissing. Could have been worse.
No, impact goes out with Bully Ray getting banged.
No, that'll be next week, and that's how Bully Ray closes out his 2012. He gets banged.
Solid show tonight. Nothing to write home about, but it was a solid show.
It's one of those, it's the throwaway before they kick off in January. And yeah. Next week will probably be the same.
Mm-hmm. And after watching 11 hours of first-run WWE programming this week, this is kind of... Oh my god, it's almost over this week of wrestling. Because, yeah, we had 11 hours of original WWE programming this week. That's a lot. We'll get into all that next segment.
Yeah, I mean, right now everything is so oversaturated with wrestling. It's just like, oh my god, I have to watch it again. But yeah, so we're not going to make you watch it again. In fact, we're just going to kind of sort of gloss over Tribute to the Troops and SmackDown. We're not going to do a full recap like we do with Impact and Raw, but we are going to hit the high points because there were some really good stuff that happened on these shows, but we'll get into that after the break. We've also got our Tweet of the Week, so everybody get ready.
Plus, and I'm going to tell you why Hulk Hogan will be a part of WrestleMania 30 and who he's going to face, brother, in an awesome idea.
This is Rock's brilliant idea, so stay tuned and listen. We will be right back here on the rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Christmas songs, it's summertime, and I am in my singlet, shorts, and thongs. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey! Jingle bells, Christmas time is due. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty hole in you. Getting hot, dodge the kangaroos. Sweaty clones aboard, he is welcome too. All the family is there, sitting by the pool. Christmas Day, the Aussie way, by the barbecue. Ho! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey!
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code Wild Talk or WTR. Get your butt starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up. Shut up. For the trunk wrap parts.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, everyone who was listening to that, forget about it now. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
I'm Rob Buzz here, Godfather Tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Game fresh than me since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kinda weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was gonna ask if you wanna do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him.
Quite often I get to thinking how as kids we got by. Like at Christmas time at our house, we couldn't even afford a fire. But we made do with what we had back then when I was young. Dad used to suck a peppermint, we'd all sit around his tongue. We couldn't afford no fancy tinsel for our Christmas tree. So we'd just wheel our granddad in and make the old cunt sneeze.
Wheel him round the other side, Nana.
But things changed pretty bloody quick. I've got kids now of my own.
and I heard them unwrap their prezzies last night when I got home.
Hey Santa Claus, you cunt, where's me fucking bike? I've unwrapped all this other junk and there's nothing that I like. I wrote your fucking letter and I come to see you twice. You worn out geriatric fart, you forgot me fucking bike. If I'd have wanted a pair of bloody socks, I would have bloody asked. And this cowboy suit and ping pong set you can shove right up your ass. You stuck me bloody order up, it's enough to make you screw.
Oh my god, it walked back to the right right here.
Oh shit, Lindsay, quiet.
Hey, Santa Claus, you cunt. Where's me fucking pram? You promised me you'd send me one and you remember who I am. Cause I'm the little girl what you made sit right on your hand. I'll give you fucking ho-ho-ho, you forgot me fucking pram. Next time I come to see, I'm gonna punch in the gut.
Wow. And brought to you by pwmini.com and tweetaudio.com. We're having the Australian version of Christmas. You get back to that
store. Pretty much.
We do.
Welcome back, everybody.
Wow, that was special. I have no transition into that other than just tweet of the week. Just go.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
So who wants to go first?
I'll go. I have a few. We'll start with Lance Storm. Just wouldn't be a Tommy Dreamer appearance if he didn't get beat down before the night was over.
Oh.
Else goes AJ Jorts, then John Cena's Jorts with the greater time. We also have one from Tommy Dreamer from about 1 hour ago. If the world is ending in 25 minutes, I'm headed to McDonald's and breaking my all-time solo eating record of $30 gluttony. Here I come.
Oh, Jesus.
That's Tommy Dreamer for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And a couple I found last night. At WWE Daniel Bryan. I'm pretty sure the Ryback just said, butter my butt. And call me Biscuit. These food references are getting to be too much. Yes, he said, butter my butt and call me Biscuit.
And I lost it last night when Rock told me that.
And this one made me go, huh? This is from William Regal. The one and only at WWE Daniel Bryan's New Year's resolution is that he wants to be known as the Dazzler Daniel Bryan from now on. Make him happy.
By the way, the Dazzler is a female comic book character. So unless Daniel Bryan is going to grow him a very nice set of boobs, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I looked it up. It's like, okay, kind of, yeah.
Anyway, Mace, do you have one?
I only have the one, unfortunately. I didn't really do much research coming to this week. But this was a retweet by AJ. The original tweet coming from Scott M. Fishman. For some reason, that name sounds familiar.
I think he's been on a show called KFA Wrestling Radio.
I believe so. The tweet reads as such. If the world ends tomorrow, I can picture at WWE AJ Lee skipping around in the rubble.
Okay, I like that one.
That's good. Mine is from Bob Ryder and Frankie Kazarian. Bob Ryder asks, did the Mayans say exactly what time the world would end? I'm trying to plan my day. To which Frankie Kazarian replies, between 8 and 5, just like the cable company.
Yeah. The cable company. I'm going to stay quiet now. Because if I say anything, stuff happens, and I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, please don't say anything, because then you're going to get the modem reset, and then we're going to lose the show, and it's just, yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on, we're going to discuss a little bit about SmackDown, or Super SmackDown, I should say, which aired live on Tuesday. And this was actually a pretty good show.
Yeah, this show was pretty enjoyable. A few moments that were noteworthy, and there was a couple good matches on the show as well. But there was one really interesting backstage segment that's going to lead into discussions later that we should let the people in on.
The video,
which featured one Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, and Kane. So, for people playing along at home, check out your Justin TV players right now for this special little video.
Hey, way to take it to the shield, guys. It's about time somebody did.
Kofi, it would be helpful if you could grow eyes in the back of your head for this match tonight. Because we know the shield is here. We know what they did to Rey Mysterio. And we all saw what they did to Sin Cara. I mean, both men could have had their careers shortened. They may never be the same again.
I feel you on that. I definitely do. On a side note, when we do get in there for our match, you have to let me get my hands on Wade Barrett. You saw what he did to me last night on Raw, right? Payback is definitely in order. What's the problem, Daniel?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering, didn't you LOL a little more when Kane and I went through anger management than you did when The Rock threw John Cena stuff into the river?
Daniel is still upset because he didn't win a slammy last night.
Like this one?
Look, Daniel, would you just let it go, please? Okay? So we didn't win Slammy last night. You got to hang out with Ric Flair.
Hey,
okay?
Hey, look, man, and you gotta love the Nature Boy. If there was a Slammy for best catchphrase, it would definitely be.
Woo! Wait a second! You think Ric Flair has the best catchphrase?
I'm just saying.
No!
Let's go.
No!
Wasn't there a Slammy for best catchphrase this year?
It was on the .com awards. They conveniently leave out the fact that Daniel Bryan won several .com awards,
mm-hmm.
but that he didn't win anything on the actual Slammy awards.
Where I lost it was when he started to growl.
Yes, the facial expression when he started to growl was just priceless, and Kane's like, oh my god, let it go, dude. Seriously, just let it go. By the way, we have to give a shout-out to Kane Kittens. He posted in the chat room, everyone on Alderaan made plenty of jokes about the Mayan Apocalypse 2. Hashtag Apocalypse 2012.
Yeah, that segment. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, that segment was pretty awesome. I've got to say, it was... I know we were complaining for a while that they hadn't done anything with the Anger Buddies, and then now they're finally doing something with them again, and we're getting just absolute epicness. Like, Daniel Bryan and Kane keep making my ovaries pop. I'm not going to be able to have kids.
It started Monday, continued on Tuesday.
Continued on Wednesday.
Which we're going to get to in a minute. Anything, because we're going to save one of the topics for later. Any other highlights besides the trio that we're going to talk about, you want to mention about SmackDown?
And overall, it was very solidly done. It was entertaining. They did a really, really, really good job of following up from Raw, especially with what we're going to talk about in the discussion topics. So overall, I really enjoyed it. And one thing I liked is, I don't know why, but SmackDown Live, it's kind of like Impact Live. It has a different feel to it. So it just, I don't know why, it's just, it's more enjoyable to watch. Maybe because it's on a better night. It's on a Tuesday night as opposed to Fridays.
Right, and it was live, and it was like, you had, it was a mini-air version of Raw, and it was live, and kind of felt, it was a nice solid show, even though it was, even with being commercial-free.
I will say there was a really cute segment with John Cena and Sheamus backstage as well.
Yeah. Where Sheamus was curious, what happened with AJ? And then he tells him this whole story in his ear, and then it was like, did that actually happen? Of course not.
Yeah, so it was overall really good.
CM Punk was a standout, and we got the confirmation of the title match on the 7th between Punk and the Ryback.
Which I think is a mistake, but...
Yeah, I'm with you there. Caitlin and Eve had a solid match, and they were actually given some time.
Yeah, they got a lot of time, which was nice.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the match till the finish, which was kind of stupid. But like, I'm glad they gave them time.
Which I'm hoping this is going to lead to potentially a title change on the Rumble, but we'll have to see. Nothing else that got me interested in the Divas Division, which took a miracle.
Yeah, and one thing came out of blue was Teddy Long was backing Brad Maddox.
Teddy, how could you?
I mean, seriously, how could you? But yeah, that kind of was weird, but yeah. And the other big story we'll get to in a few minutes. But then we had Tribute to the Troops.
Which had yet... this has been like the week of Daniel Bryan. And it has yet another epic segment, which I believe Rock is going to play for you now. So go back to your Justin TV players, because, yeah, you have to see this.
So set. It is.
We were told to pick a partner to team with us against 3MB tonight. But since neither of us obviously want another tag team partner, I found the perfect one. Little Jimmy.
I like the way you think.
Thank you. Thank you.
My favorite two people! Team Hell No! Hey, I got some good news, and then I got some great news. The good news is, little Jimmy's cousin, Ugly Freedom, she finally found somebody to marry her. And little Jimmy's at the airport now going to the wedding. The great news is, instead of teaming with little Jimmy, y'all gonna be teaming with me, the Suntan Superman, R-Truth. Hey, after we win, we can hit the club, we can do karaoke, we can kill some spiders. We can do it all. I'm talking about everything. Now, can I get a what's up? Oh, I got it. Y'all want to wait till late on the night. I like the way y'all think. I'll see you out there.
I blame you for this.
It's not my fault. No! No! No!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Bye-bye, goldfish.
I do not have a goat face.
Cousin Daniel? Cousin Daniel?
for those of you who didn't see what transpired, they had a goat Muppet.
Yeah, they did.
They had a goat Muppet. That's fucking genius.
They've had one around for quite a while. Personally, I just preferred the interaction between Daniel Bryan and Animal.
Yes.
That was just my oh my god moment.
I love the defuck looks that they had through the whole time R-Truth was talking. Like, they're literally standing there with these looks of what the fuck is wrong with you on their face. It was awesome.
Little Jimmy's cousin, Ugly Frida.
She found somebody to marry her.
It was a miracle.
But here's the other thing. After he said it, can you now, or do you now, want to see Daniel Bryan and Kane going to do karaoke?
Yes, yes, yes. Shop, take my money. Yes.
Mace?
It would be an interesting segment. But what you got to do to just really hammer it home is try and find a song, a karaoke song about goats. And Kane starts singing it.
Yes.
Or that, or they have to do a duet. Get them.
I got you, babe.
Yeah, get it. I got you.
No. Summer Lovin'.
Yes.
This needs to happen. What WWE needs to do is get them a 2-minute web series every single week, just with ridiculous shit that we come up with, and just pull it off. It'd be awesome.
I just want to see the Daniel Bryan and Kane Christmas. I want to see this next week on Raw, damn it.
Here's hoping they taped it.
Because if we don't get them celebrating Christmas together, I will be so disappointed.
It would be awesome. Only because I just want to see Kane. Yeah, Kane, we're having trouble with the Christmas turkey, with the Christmas meat. Can you help us with the oven? Sure. Raise his hand.
Boom! Yeah.
Boom. Done. Look, it's Santa! This Kane out of nowhere. Ah! Clothesline.
No.
Tombstone pile driver on Santa.
No, somebody else got Santa this year. We're not going to say who, but somebody else gets Santa this year.
Yeah. We'll talk about that Monday on the Raw Post Show, live 11:30 p.m. Eastern, most likely right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Exactly, but now we're going to talk about the highlight.
Isn't that the one where you're going to be doing the show alone, Rock?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he's going to be doing it all alone.
Well, maybe not. I may have a co-host named Spug. He may be joining me for the show.
Wow, you're actually able to get Spug to stick around?
Yeah, I didn't ask. He volunteered. He said he might join me to get away from the family for a little bit.
So,
may have a Spug on Monday night. But anyway, we're avoiding the big topic that came out of Raw and SmackDown.
Yes, the trio is born.
Mm-hmm. The trio known as Dolph Ziggler, AJ, and Big E Langston. They sort of coming out of the pay-per-view, it looked like, okay, it was just AJ screwing Cena. Then on Monday, you had AJ kissed off, and then they were a team, and you really didn't think much of, you know, the pairing. And then they came out Tuesday, and the pairing was more evident as they did the same, came out together. They're making out more on the television. Sort of a newer version of Edge and Lita. Just the feel of it, the top heel with the top male heel and the top female heel together. And then they have this bodyguard, or AJ has this bodyguard or, you know, her friend, who anytime that someone attacks who, or says the word crazy around her, they attack. I'm kind of digging this trio.
It's an interesting mix. It's an interesting take on it, especially giving AJ her own bodyguard and the fact that she's very much almost the leader. Like, Ziggler is a kind of like a background, not really a background player, but they share the responsibility. And AJ's the one that controls Langston, not Ziggler.
Right.
Which is definitely an interesting mix.
Yeah, it is an interesting mix. Because usually the bodyguard goes is the protector of the male. It just, you know, it goes right into male matches and you know, that sort of thing. But it's AJ who controls it, which is good. It's a different twist on the whole thing. I like that. There's a lot of potential with this trio. And it's going to help out both AJ and Dolph. Because if you think about it, they're the two hottest commodities on television right now, beyond, you know, CM Punk and The Shield. These two characters are what they're investing a lot of time in and a lot of focus of the television, and especially the last few weeks.
Right. And I like how they're having Ziggler kind of almost be the reluctant one at first.
Right, it started out reluctant, and then all the pieces have started to come together.
Right. I like how they're playing it. I like how they're doing it. It's very cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
It's very psychological, methodical, all those kinds of things. It has each progression ties into the last very well. And that's what I'm liking about it. I'm curious to see what else they do with it.
Because there's a lot of different ways this angle can go. The one way they can go is AJ's using Dolph. And the other way is Dolph is using AJ to get what he wants.
Well, I think ultimately it's going to be probably AJ is using Dolph, and the way that you do this is you spin Dolph out as a face,
mm-hmm.
especially if he's very reluctant like he has been over the past, at least what he looked like on SmackDown, he was very kind of, I don't know, kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see her kind of manipulating him and using him. And he spins out. Because I think I proposed to you that AJ gets the ultimate payback on Vicky by stealing her boyfriend and potentially getting her fired.
Correct.
AJ's using Dolph to get information on Vicky.
Right.
Which she'll then turn around and take to the board of directors and get her fired. And in the meantime, she'll either help get Ziggler a title or she'll screw him over.
Mm-hmm. Right, there's potential off of that. There's a lot of different ways this storyline can go, and that's what I'm liking. It's a fresh change. Everything in wrestling we've seen once before, and we will always see something the same thing over and over again, because that's just wrestling. But it's
right.
We haven't seen this type of trio in a few years, at least. Because when, we basically remember this. When was Edge and Lita? 07, 08? Something along those lines?
07?
07, I think, yeah.
So it's been about 5 years since we've seen a real spin with, you know, the top heel male and female together. In this sort of fashion.
If you think about it, there's a lot of similarities, too. You have Edge, Steel, Kane's wife and Lita.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Dolph stealing, in quotations, AJ, although I don't think that was too hard. Or in reality, I think it was actually AJ who stole Dolph.
Right, but she's making it seem like the other way around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It, I'm trying to figure out the best way to put it. The way there's so much they could do with it, and it's going to help these two characters over the next few months. There was some talk, and we'll get into this further probably on Sunday on WTR. It's a slight teaser. That there's talk of changes in WrestleMania. The only thing that's for sure is Brock Lesnar and Triple H. Everything is up in the air. Well, it still could be Rock and Cena or whatever. What if this is an idea of let's get this heel over, let's get Dolph Ziggler over and get him to the point where now you have this hot act going into WrestleMania against the top babyface in The Rock. It would be better than seeing Once in a Lifetime Part 2.
Oh, I agree. And one of the things that has happened is there were rumors that changes to Mania happened this week.
Right. Changes are happening, and it's like, Well, everything, like, matches may still stay the same, but there may be stipulations, or just the way they get to it changes. I would hope that maybe they considered using the star power of The Rock to make another star, and Mace is going, yeah, right. They'll never use The Rock to make another person. You're crazy.
Why would you think I'd say that?
Just because? Because I know you.
I'd have no problem with them using The Rock to make another star.
No, I'm just saying.
If there's anything that we have said over the last fucking couple of years, is this company is lacking star power outside of John Cena.
No, I'm not saying you would have a problem with them doing it. I'm just saying. Them thinking of them doing it. Using The Rock. They would never do it. Because The Rock's the best. They'll never use him over someone else.
Look, they can use him to get someone over in a match, but in the end, they will put the focus back on The Rock.
Right. That was the point. It was tongue-in-cheek.
And if you think about it, Rock's got to give his win back, because they gave him the win in Miami because it's his hometown, one, and two, he's the returning hero.
Mm-hmm.
So, it made sense to give him the win. Even though everybody hated it, it made sense.
Correct.
You send the crowd home happy, that's fine. Now you have Rock, he's not going to be in his hometown. So it's easier for him to lay down for someone and give the win back this year. So it makes sense. And honestly, I don't want to see Once in a Lifetime Part 2. I don't want to see Cena get that win back. I want to see them use The Rock to make somebody. And I think Ziggler would be an amazing choice. Because you have Ziggler, The Rock lay down for Ziggler. He wins the WWE title off of The Rock at Mania.
And then you can springboard the year of Dolph Ziggler from that point on. Because we were all talking this year, beginning of the year, last year this time we went, who's going to be the breakout star of 2012? We all said Dolph Ziggler. It's taken some time, but right now they're finally getting to it. And hopefully in 2013 we get the real breakout of Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and I can honestly see it where he wins the WWE title still holding the Money in the Bank, and that's how it expires.
Right, because him holding the briefcase doesn't mean he can't fight for the WWE Championship.
Right. It's, why am I carrying this around? This isn't worth anything to me. And if he wants to really steal the show, if he wants to truly be the show-off, you do that by going after the biggest guy there is. I know if it's Taker, but Rock's bigger right now.
Could you imagine if at WrestleMania they do Dolph Ziggler versus The Rock for the WWE Championship and use that as the main, yet earlier in the show they have probably, I don't know, Sheamus and Orton at Mania for the World Heavyweight Championship. Ziggler cashes in. Wins the World Heavyweight belt and goes in to face The Rock as the World Heavyweight Champion versus the WWE Champion and beats The Rock.
And then comes out on Monday Night Raw holding both belts.
Mm-hmm. And he can come out and straight out proclaim 2013 is the year of Dolph Ziggler.
Right. And this circles all the way back because Chris Jericho invented it, but at the same time, this is how Chris Jericho was made. What's Chris Jericho's biggest claim to fame?
Holding both belts at the same time.
Mm-hmm, because I beat Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock on the same night. And then now Ziggler can go, I beat Randy Orton I beat Sheamus and The Rock on the same night. And I hold both belts. It could work. Never happened, but it'd be awesome if it did.
That would be epic.
Indeed.
But unfortunately, we don't work for them and they don't really listen to us, even though we joke that they do, and it will never happen.
No, sadly.
Which makes me has a sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how we got so off topic, I don't know.
It still ended with talking about Dolph Ziggler. So it's still
My god, that's an awesome shirt. I may have to get that. I'm sorry, go on.
I'm just saying, yeah, we still ended with Dolph Ziggler, so. It was still all in the same tangent.
Kind of, sort of. But, alright, I'm going to let you take over the reins, because this is your baby, and you tell us all about Hulk Hogan and WrestleMania 30.
Okay, so I watched an interview and I passed it along to Lindsay, and we've talked about it on other shows. If you haven't seen it, it's Wrestling with Rosenberg with The Big Show. So at the final question, basically was, he posed Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 30, and it was like, is it possible? And then it got me thinking of, would Vince McMahon actually bring Hulk Hogan back for a big moment, for a big, you know, WrestleMania like WrestleMania 30? This got me thinking, okay, when does his contract end? Did all that, you know, research and whatever. We think, okay, he signed in, what was it, 09? The tail end of 09.
Yes.
Signed tail end of 09. So he comes back. So he signed another 2-year deal. So he'd be up in the end of 2013. So he'd be free to go to work WWE WrestleMania 30. All right. So with that all out of the way, as evident by Monday, which totally backs up my point, when someone returns home to WWE, they get a really loud reaction, a la Ric Flair. Hulk Hogan would get the same thing because, like it or not, TNA is down there and WWE is all the way up here. Big difference in audience. So Hulk Hogan would come back to WWE and be a part of WrestleMania 30. What would he do? My scenario is this. Have Hogan come back for one last match. That's it. Just his one final match, and that's how you promote it. The one final match for Hulk Hogan. This is his send-off. There will be no other match. There's no other retirement tour. This is it. And you go back to, basically, you build up Hulk Hogan as Hulk Hogan. Forget the Hollywood gimmick. Bring him back, red and yellow, old school. Eat your vitamins, say your prayers, that whole gimmick. That's what you do with Hogan. Me and Lindsay were bouncing around names like Randy Orton and John Cena and the like. Even we bounced around Dolph Ziggler as opponent. Because you need someone who could sell, and we thought Cena, but when it boiled down to it, Cena would make things a little too cheesy. Especially with his reactions, he wouldn't sell for Hogan, yada, yada, yada. So we got to go back to the era where Hulk Hogan was the most famous, since the 1980s, early 90s. That's Stuart Hogan. So you get back to this point of Hogan's career. You do the Hogan promos like he's, you know, back in the 80s, the quick, short promos, nothing long-winded. Let him ramble, do the whole vitamin bits, and you sell to the kids, because if you think WWE's audience is the kids, so they will actually buy into Hulk Hogan again. Now, you build it, basically, you component it to our generation, you know, as the guy we grew up with, the little Hulkamaniac, and why you would believe in the guy who can get, you know, eat your vitamins, say your prayers, because it would work for our generation, it would work for the young kids, because it's a PG message, it's old school, you just run those type of programs. You give her the Hogan, Hollywood Hogan gimmick, doesn't exist, flat out. And for a few weeks, you basically have Hogan, you know, you have his opponent run down Hulk Hogan. You say, oh, he's nothing, he's old, yada, yada, yada. You do those for a few weeks with his, you know, he's a has-been, you know, what you're seeing is a fraud, it's not the real Hulk Hogan. And then you get him in the ring for this, the final, the week before with his opponent. And then you have this opponent, you know, run him down a bit, and then, you know, he's going to, you know, go for the big punch on Hulk Hogan. And then you have Hulk Hogan do what he's, you know, most famous for, the Hulk up. He takes the punch and, you know, no-sells it, and then you get the guy, and he goes, holy shit, it's really Hulk Hogan. And you sell it like crazy. You just do the one punch, and then you have the heel back off. The heel for this scenario is Damian Sandow. Yes, Hulk Hogan versus Damian Sandow. Just think about the promos. Sandow has the 80s vibe in his promos, which would totally sell the 80s feel of this build-up, if you think about it. Have I lost you both at this point?
Mm-hmm. I'll let Miz go first, because I've heard it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Sandow.
Why?
I think the promo styles are that polar opposite to each other that it is an issue. Like, sure, Sandow has the 80 vibe, you know, the whole genius style gimmick and all that. I just think that the promo, like, the way the promos are cut in your scenario,
mm-hmm.
are so polar opposite that crowd's going to get confused. I'll be honest. Like, I have my own quick idea. Like, it's not as fleshed out as yours, obviously.
Let me finish up. I'll give you an example.
Keep going.
I'm scrolling through my conversation with Lindsay. This is how I'm reading through it. It was about, let's see, started at 1:05. It took about 40 minutes for me to cut this full scenario. So, all right, here's the promo. Because I was just picturing it. You have a promo cut by Sandow where he's cutting promo about, you know, the vitamins and the prayers and how he's been training this kid. He's found this young pupil. He's been training in the Hulk Hogan way of living, eating your vitamins, saying your prayers. And then when he comes out, this, you know, he brings out this skinny kid, a Zach Gallen style skinny kid, just think with two legs. And you go, see, this is what happens when you live the Hulk Hogan way. You know, you're not really big and muscular. You're this guy. But if you follow my advice, you'll be smart and intelligent, just like me. See, that's the style of promo I see. I see him, you know, trying to, you know, run down everything Hulk Hogan believes in. And I've completely lost you, which is okay.
Yeah, pretty much you've completely lost. you've pretty much completely lost my interest at this point.
I like it.
It's an interesting scenario. It's different.
It's indeed. It's a very different scenario. But yeah, it's not one I could see them doing, and it's not one that I could see...
Oh, I can never see them doing it. I can never see them doing it. But I want to see them do it. You get the point? It's my fantasy project. I want to see them do it.
I, I, like, to be honest, if you want to use Hogan, mm-hmm. and you want to get the pop for Mania, you want to get the big, you know, the big rivalry and all that type of stuff going, it's probably one of the simplest concepts out there, but it's one that would probably draw a lot. You put Cena, Hogan, and The Rock in the ring, and you bill it as which is the best generation. You have the Federation years versus the Attitude Era versus today.
And in that scenario, who goes over?
You know what? I have no idea personally. I wouldn't... to be honest, find a way to end it in a draw.
You can't
have a fight.
You
have every man pin each other.
You can't do that. You know how we would shit on that if that happened?
To be honest, the match that you could possibly get from it, it wouldn't matter.
The proper scenario is you put Cena over.
But then you get everybody bitching going, oh, it's all about Cena.
Alright, and then you put Hogan over.
The egotistical old fuck.
Uh-huh. And then you put The Rock... Okay, you don't want that. You put The Rock over.
Fuck The Rock!
How about you just have The Undertaker come in and light them all on fire?
I'd be good with that.
Or have Stone Cold... Have Stone Cold... Have Stone Cold...
I'd be fine with that.
Have Stone Cold come
out and The Undertaker comes out, raises his arms, drops them, lightning kills all three. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just an idea I threw out there. I thought it was interesting. Sandow Hogan, it would be different. It would raise the value of Sandow a lot.
Yeah, but you're also putting a lot of pressure on Sandow, though.
Oh, I know.
Because he'd have to, A, adapt himself to Hogan's style, B, adapt himself enough that he's able to practically carry Hogan, and I wouldn't put him on that level just yet.
But again,
his
we're
wrestling
a year,
ability.
But again, we're a year out.
And and even you'd have to spend this entire next year. I'm meaning you need to start building this tomorrow.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. You need to build
in order to get Sandow on that level.
Oh, I know. Oh, trust me. I know. I know. You have to build him for a year. I know.
Hmm.
Oh, I trust me. I thought of that. It's like you have to build him from this point on. And they will not,
which the WWE will not do. They don't have the faith in it. But to bring back Hogan and The Rock to go up against Cena, to be their top draw at WrestleMania 30, man, they'd jump at that.
Oh, they would.
And you wouldn't even need to build it over a year. You build it over 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You build it from Rumble through to Mania.
That's all you would, all you basically would have, because Hogan and Hogan won't be able to do anything until then, and then you have The Rock as well.
See, and at least that way you get The Rock in the Rumble to set up, like, to pseudo set up, what would look like a match between The Rock and Cena. Then you interject Hogan in it as time progresses when he's able to.
Right. And the reason, go back to the reason I picked Cena is just for the facial reactions on the promos.
Yeah.
That's what sold it on me. The match itself wasn't the idea, but there was the promos that could be done, and the facial reactions is why I picked Sandow.
Yeah, you got to remember that it's not promos that sell tickets.
Oh, I know. I know. I know, Al Snow. But in my head, promos sell tickets.
Thank you, Spooge. I mean Spug.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just my idea. It's something that's out there. Sandow, Hogan. What if?
At 30, I'd say something bigger needs to be.
Right.
Even with a one-year build, Sandow is not going to be on that level.
Well, they need somebody on that level, and they need someone on that level quick.
And unfortunately, to be honest, the only two guys that I would trust to be on that level are Cena and CM Punk. Maybe Ziggler if he gets the push that we're all hoping he gets in 2013.
Right, Ziggler was the other one I was thinking of that could do it. Because I don't... Hogan Punk, I don't think would work. I don't know. I don't have...
I know. Could you imagine... Okay. Picture this. We go with your scenario. You have Hogan come back as Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, all that jazz. Punk goes full on straight edge mode. Take your vitamins. What? You mean steroids that you've got and pumped into your body? You have Punk shoot on Hogan like a motherfucker. Basically, every bad thing that has been drudged up about Hogan over the years, every rumor, every thought they've had about him, pull it all out.
Trust me, I know.
Real emotion.
Oh, I know. The build-up would be great. Now, this is where I'm going back to the match. I'm thinking...
Punk could carry him.
He could. I don't know. I don't think they would mesh. I can't see Punk selling for Hogan like someone would need to sell for Hogan. I don't think Punk would want to sell for Hogan. It's not like he couldn't. I just don't think he would want to. You know what I mean? I just can't see him doing that.
Punk will sell if he knows it's good for business.
But would he?
That's the one good thing about CM Punk, is he knows what's good for business. And if he needs to put his personal shit aside, he will put his personal shit aside.
And maybe, finally, then he could actually main event WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But then again, John Cena would be in a match, and he would still be below. It would be Rock, Cena 3.
Rock Hogan wasn't the main event of WrestleMania 19.
No.
This is true.
And it stole the fucking show.
Oh, I know, but...
18, sorry, not 19.
18, yeah. But Punk wants to be in the main event of WrestleMania. That's his final goal.
That's fine. This will probably give him one of his best chances of doing so.
Because it's probably not happen this year.
Nope.
Oh, fuck no.
Even though it should, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, I think the trick is going to be to see if Punk sells for Rock. And right. How he sells Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And if he sells Rock like he should... Because selling Rock, at least in my opinion, is similar to selling Hogan. You kind of have to over-exaggerate everything. So, if he does it for Rock, he would probably do it for Hogan.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Like, Punk might not oversell. He might not do, like, Shawn Michaels level of oversell. But he will take the bumps on what needs to be bumped. And it would be interesting because Hogan's always played a power game. Lots of punches, clotheslines, very simple, but a lot of power. Punk counters that with a lot of technical. So every time Hogan goes for the big punch, he counters it into an arm lock. And Hogan has to think of a new way to get around CM Punk to get the win. That's if you go with Hogan with the win, which you wouldn't, because then you would have Punk going over.
Right.
Like, Hogan hulks up, hits the big three, hits the big boot, goes for the leg drop, misses. Punk gets up, straight into a GTS 1-2-3. Or an Anaconda Vice. And then you do like you did at 18, you have Hogan acknowledge Punk. You do a proper passing of the torch to somebody who will actually, you know, do the same when his time comes.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at you, Rock.
Exactly.
Wait, what? Why are you looking at me? What did I do?
No, not you.
not
the
you.
Other one.
Oh, the other one. Okay. My bad.
The big roid monkey.
My bad.
Is The Rock subject to drug testing? I'm just kind of curious.
No. I would hope... I hope they do, because the way he's looking these days... I'm wondering what he is on, because that's not natural.
Did he get more fat sucked out of his ass?
Who knows?
But, yeah, so an interesting topic, but I think we beat it to death.
Yes, yes, we have. I'm more confused. Anyway, continue.
No, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
No, I'm more confused. I have a new follower on Twitter. It's strange. But I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. So, why don't we go ahead and talk about our question of the night, which is as follows. What would Kane and Daniel Bryan get each other for Christmas?
And we have a few responses. More extensive therapy sessions. A gift card for Bryan, a coffee mug for Kane. Odd, okay. A razor for Bryan, a new mask for Kane. Fruit roll-ups for Kane. Pink bows for Bryan's beard.
That's a good one.
Kane would get Daniel goat milk. Daniel would get Kane matches. And Kane would get Daniel Bryan a big razor, and Kane would get Daniel Bryan would get Kane a new voice box thingy.
Interesting.
Those are the responses for the question of the night.
So do either of you have a response?
I've kind of given you mine, and we kind of worked it into your project.
Okay. Mace, have you come up with anything?
I have a couple of ideas. I would say that Kane gives Bryan a goat plushie, and Bryan in return would give Kane a tofu turkey.
Oh yeah, now I remember what Kane, what Daniel Bryan would give Kane. Give him a hair made, one of Daniel Bryan's homemade hair vests.
Yes.
That's the other idea I had, yeah. The homemade hair vest. I have no idea what Kane would give Daniel Bryan, but yeah. Daniel Bryan would give Kane the homemade hair vest. And I thought that would be awesome.
Alright. I like it. And if you want my response to what they would get each other, watch the Twitters and the Facebooks tomorrow, and you'll find out, because I have a little comic that I did for Christmas, so... stay tuned.
See, this whole thing was just a giant shill for her project.
Yep.
Because, you know, we never shill anything on this network.
Never.
Ever.
Ever. Never, ever.
So, on that note, speaking of shills and plugs, we's at the end of the show.
We are.
So, Mace, do you have anything you'd like to plug or say?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything to plug, however... it's been fun to get back on the air. I definitely have missed this. I will try and endeavor somehow to sort of work things around. Probably not going to be around for the Rumble as I originally promised. I might not have enough, leave time saved up for the Rumble, but I can guarantee I will be around for WrestleMania.
Yay!
So don't miss me too much.
All right, well, Rock, go.
Before I plug, I have something to rant about.
Oh, you have a rant?
Mini rant. What's bugging me this week? So, commercials. Mainly, it's college bowl season, and ESPN is showing a lot of bowl games. Great, fantastic. Their whole tagline is Capital One Bowl Week. How many days are in a week, Mace?
7.
Capital One Bowl Week goes from December 15th to December 31st. Kind of more than a week.
Like 2 and a bit weeks.
Yeah, come up with a new tagline. Just saying. It's not Capital One Bowl Week. It's Capital Bowl Week. Capital Bowl Month. Call it. It's not a week. It's a month. Or 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks. Change it up. That's all. I'm tired of hearing the commercials. It's annoying me. That's why I went around about last weekend. I forgot. So yeah. Boo, Capital Bowl 1 week. Any of you have a rant before I don't plug?
No, yes. I'm good.
People, let's hold our shit together for at least 24 more hours.
I suck in that.
You can go crazy at midnight tomorrow night if anything happens. But for now, everybody calm the hell down, hold it together, and tomorrow is just another day.
Yup. So,
although I am tempted to drive by the liquor store just to see how insane it is.
Especially in Mormon country.
Yeah. Sorry, now you can go.
Tomorrow night, 3 hour and 1 minute spectacular, because it's the end of the world, apparently. The Johnny Cashmere's wake-up call, supposedly, 9 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night's Christmas show, CP Radio, midnight-ish. Join us. Weird, wacky, unusual. We'll have the 12 days of WTR and a whole bunch of other things, and I don't know. Anyone can come on if they want. We're going to just do the usual. It's CB Radio. You know, you love it. Come on. Join it. Be a part of it. It's CB Radio. Saturdays, midnight-ish. Sunday night, Joseph Talk Radio with Tim Stein and the Omega. I think Lindsay and myself will be a part of the show as well. Just because we want to make fun of Omega as Dan O'Brien. So check out 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's a Raw Post show. Like I said, I'm going to be doing the show. We may have a spug. Or it might be solo. Who knows? It's the Raw Post at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Right after Monday Night Raw. Wednesday night, I don't think there's another goddamn wrestling show. I think we're probably taking the week off. Most likely. Check the Facebooks and the Twitter about that. And, no Rack next week, but next Thursday will be the Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern. Alan's going to have Cassie Riley from CassieRiley.net. And a couple other people. I can't remember who else he has on, but I remember CassieRiley.net because I'm told I have to plug CassieRiley.net all the time now. So
just for that show!
So just visit CassieRiley.net so we can promote it on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio presented by CassieRiley.net. Yeah, so check out WTRProductions.net and follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and join the Facebook group as well.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwardesigns.com, and of course visit my DeviantArt, LinsWard.deviantart.com, and as Rock said, visit CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs, and tune in to Kayfabe next week to hear him pick football. He is the reigning champion, so hopefully he can go 2 years in a row. And all I can say is go Cards, go Falcons.
And yeah, I'm gonna totally kill Lindsay in fantasy football.
You wish.
Oh, I will. You're going down, Lindsay. You're going down.
Not on you, baby. That's all I got.
That's your trash talk?
That's my trash talk.
Now wrap up your show.
All right. Well, for Mace, for the Arrogant Rock.
Damn right.
I am Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Remember to visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, for all your news needs, and TweakedAudio.com for those last-minute Christmas gifts, if you can get them in time. So, for everybody, have a Merry Christmas, or Merry Happy, whatever you celebrate.
Happy Festivus to you all.
Yes, Happy Festivus to you all. Happy End of the World. Hopefully we're all here next week, and I will see you right around the new year. Actually, I will see y'all in 2013. So, peace. We're out. Night.
Fuck y'all. It's Merry Christmas. Is a swell
time to go gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell rock.
WildTalkRadio.com.